Castro merchants threaten civil disobedience over ongoing homeless problem in San Francisco. Now, what's the significance of this? Well, the Castro district is one of the most tolerant neighborhoods within San Francisco, already a tolerant city. You've got an issue where even the most tolerant of communities, Castro, known for its LGBTQ, the alphabet, known for that, world over, the Castro, it's getting to a point where running a business for business owners is becoming such an issue that they are going to that point where they're like, yeah, maybe we don't pay our taxes. Civil disobedience. Civil war? Revolutionary war? Crazy, right? But no, I mean, it's one of those situations where if it doesn't get better, what is the point of paying taxes? That is a legit question. What are our taxes paying for? Another very legit question. Let's get into it. All right. So this is actually from ABC. Business owners in San Francisco's Castro District are calling on city leaders to provide more beds for the unhoused community. That's not going to do it. But if you did have some dedicated beds, the whole point, I think, to they're requesting 35 beds is that then you'd have a place for these known mentally ill people to be taken to, right? Give them a place, get them out of circulation, even just for a little bit. Some are threatening civil disobedience if the city doesn't address the growing issues in front of their storefronts. It's next to impossible to run a successful business in the Castro right now, says Dave Carricker, co-president of the Castro Merchants Association. Carricker, owner of the MX3 gym in the Castro, has had enough of the unhoused community impacting the neighborhood. You shouldn't have to worry about your window going to get smashed today by a mentally ill person who sees their face and reacts to it. And they smash out your window because they're trying to get the bad guy. That's them. I should be worried about whether I can sell more gym memberships, he said, instead of worrying about the, person just taking whatever object they've got and smashing your window in because they saw themselves. And when he describes it, you can hear in his voice, he has seen this. He has watched this happen. He knows what the deal is. We all know what the deal is. It's a matter of what's city leadership going to do? Yeah, not much. They're overwhelmed. San Francisco, they're overwhelmed. LA, they're overwhelmed. Seattle, to a certain extent, yeah. Overwhelmed. Portland, yeah, of course. Wildly overwhelmed. So are we going to get to a point where business owners are like, yeah, that's it. I'm revolting. I think the first order is they typically leave. But if you've got a business that is like really entrenched in a neighborhood, that might not be an option. And for those types of businesses, that's when I think you get into, okay, I'm not going to pay my taxes. Well, that's just not going to work out all that well, is it? I'm not going to pay my business license. Okay. How's that going to go without a business license? You're the one that's going to get fined. You're the one that is going to be impacted because now all of a sudden you can't legally run your business. So I would love to say that this is a great idea and yes, we should do it. I think we need to form a union and make this happen. No, for these business owners, I mean, they're just trying to run a business. They're like the guy says here, I should be worried about selling more gym memberships, then worried about nut jobs, seeing themselves in the reflection in the window and taking whatever handy, sharp, penetrating object and smashing the window. But that's not the reality in the Castro. That's not the reality in any business environment that has a homeless population next to it or in it. Talk to so many business owners in downtown Seattle that live in, that had businesses in the really tough areas at the beginning of the pandemic. Man, you had no people, you had homeless people, all of a sudden just being given a hall pass for most of downtown. Do whatever you want. There's nobody else around. And then you had the whole, police deal. We defunded the police and their numbers got scarce and You know, they're not running around looking at after the homeless. They're not looking, you know, after these areas that have just been overrun because CDC said, you know, you can't sweep homeless encampments. It might spread the Rona. You know, we had that for so long. So in these areas of these downtown cores, you just had literally the Wild West of homelessness and gangs overrunning things, and just craziness ensued. That's just what happened. And I think areas have kind of slowly come back. Portland would be an exception. I just did a podcast on how Portland is one of the worst recovering cities in all the United States, between North America, you know, between the United States and Canada. Portland was only surpassed by San Francisco and Cleveland, I believe it was. They're the only two other major cities that had recovered even slower than Portland in getting back to activity and people being in their downtown cores. The pandemic was just, it was a death knell for a lot of downtown cores. He's even had to install extra security cameras to help protect his business. Extra security cameras, extra security, armed security. I mean, you name it. Companies are trying to come up with solutions to keep their businesses viable. Because in if you look at what city leadership is doing in a lot of these areas, they're overwhelmed. They can't get to it. They don't have the police personnel. They don't have the manpower to put all the homeless people where they need to be, whether it's rehab or jail. I think a lot of them just need to be in jail. All the craziness that they commit. It would be better than them living in a homeless encampment on, you know, on a street or on the sidewalk. Hear stories about them getting run over and just having your neighbors living on the streets in a big urban city, that is not compassion at all. That is just, it's inevitably a matter of time before something very bad is going to happen to them. Or they're going to do something without being in the right state of mind to occupants of said city that detrimentally impacts, you know, those people and everybody else around them. So we've got extra security going in. That's kind of a given. We're demanding that the city set aside 35 beds specifically for the Castro to deal with these people that we know are perennial problems. So the business owners deal and know with these they have interaction with these homeless folks so often that they know who's doing what. They know who the repeat offenders are, right? So business owners are saying, hey, give us 35 beds so that when these people come banging on our windows, when they see themselves, we can have a spot for them that's already reserved. Hey, we've got a little bed for you. Get you some lunch. You want to go? And just get them out of circulation. That to me is not asking for much, but it's not just the Castro, right? I mean, Tenderloin, you've seen a YouTube video on Tenderloin lately. It's not pretty, right? Trying to clean up some of these areas, making efforts, and yet you push the homeless one direction, they're going to go over here. Yeah. You build a whole bunch of housing for them and then ask them if they want to go. I don't think so. Got a lot of rules in that shelter. That's not for me. I live in my tent on the street, do my stuff here. And by stuff, I mean illegal activities. I just did a podcast on an exploding van outside of a preschool in Los Angeles. I mean, just an exploding van. You know, you want to tell your children, okay, so don't take any candy from strangers and, you know, mind the exploding vans. Those can be dangerous. You know, things like that. Parents shouldn't have to do that. They shouldn't have to have this extra set of just craziness associated with school. And so in LA, they've basically stated, no homeless encampments 500 feet in proximity to a school, which is great and all. I am totally for it. But then you can have rules all day long, but unless you enforce them, what good is it? And I don't see Los Angeles being able to enforce that. You know, maybe they're going to have a little bit more teeth, a little bit more bite with that being in place. But as far as an overall solution, just because you said, none within 500 feet of a school, how's that going to transfer into reality? That's the rub, right? So in a letter sent to city leaders, the association says that they'll also like to see a comprehensive plan on how to address people who repeatedly decline services and clear monthly metrics on how many people in the Castro have been offered shelter or services. So that is something that Seattle has done. Mayor Bruce has a very transparent and open system now, and you can kind of see exactly what's going on with the whole homeless encampment situation. You can see how many fires have been responded to, just see a lot of the metrics and things, which is great in and of itself. That is great because now we get a clearer picture on what's going on. But it doesn't really change the actual situation itself. It sheds some light on it. So now we can sit and go, oh, okay, that's what's happening. But these business owners, their consistent message is, what are you doing about it? And that's where these cities that have these issues, things have gotten so far out of control. I'm not sure what it's going to take to get the genie back in the bottle. You know what I mean? Or can you get the genie back in the bottle? Or do you just go, all right, yep, I'm no longer paying my business license fees. I'm no longer paying my taxes because I'm moving to that state. I had a comment from somebody. I was talking about how folks are leaving red states. It was literally on the downtown core of Portland being one of the fewest to have come back since the pandemic. And somebody made the comment, and I see this all the time, just don't have them move to a red state. Everybody in a red state that is aware of these situations is like, yeah, why don't you keep your blue state problems there? You guys just stay there. And for the rest of us, we'll be over here enjoying our lack of, you know, insane people on our streets that are wanting to smash out your window because they see their own reflection. So there's that. And yet, you know, people in these blue states, they're getting what they voted for, aren't they? They are. Yeah, even though we've got what San Francisco had a district attorney recall and an attorney general recall in California. You got a lot of recalls going on. You got Newsom trying to be recalled. You got people in California are fed up to a certain point, but also you guys voted these folks into office. Portland, you voted Mayor Ted in. How's that working out? I think a lot of those people who voted are like, oh, we just didn't know. We didn't know it was going to end so badly. Well, the rest of us kind of said, oh, that's not going to end up well. And here we are, right? If not, if they can't get an idea of, you know, a comprehensive plan on those who repeatedly decline services, and that's a huge thing. You know, I even had a conversation with one of the premieres I watched. When we release a video, there's a premiere for it, you know, and so you can go there and you can go online, and I'll oftentimes be there now. I'm there a lot because I'm getting all these stuff kind of figured out and I'm able to attend, whereas I just didn't have the time before. So I'm making time to attend. In a premiere today, you know, people are saying, well, we just need some more affordable housing. Yeah, but then you've moved people who have mental issues and drug issues and legal issues. You just moved them from one location to another. You didn't really fix the issue. So you might have 35 beds. Okay. Yeah, it's not probably going to stop these folks from running around on the streets because that's literally they want to be. Because to get back to this point, who repeatedly declined services. So you can build all this housing. If the folks it's meant for refuse housing, then what? That's what I say. All right. Here are your options. You've got this, or go to jail. Pick one. Which one would you like? Not how would you like us to handle this, but pick one of these three options. Let's go down that road. I think something's going to have to come along like this, but these West Coast liberal cities that are dealing with this stuff, they're nowhere even close to being able to pull the trigger on something like that. Nor do I think they really probably want to. They like the squalor that the unhoused brings. For some reason, you know, it's got that whole, the industrial complex of the homelessness. It seems like that's a real thing. And it seems like, you know, under the guise of loving our fellow human being and letting them live just wherever willy-nilly, that we're loving people. And in reality, to me, you're just killing them. You're just allowing them to die, sometimes a slow death, and with fentanyl, not a slow death, pretty fast. And that's happening on the regular as well. So, you know, I just don't see letting the homeless just let them be. They're fine. They'll work it out. They don't have the skill set to do that. So government's got to step in. And I don't blame these business owners in the Castro for saying, yeah, something's got to change. So if not, he says they're prepared for civil disobedience, which means not paying taxes, which means not paying your business license fees. That's where we might end up, Carriker said. And Carriker isn't alone. So, you know, this is not uncommon. This is a cry for help. The businesses in these areas and communities like this, they're just not really set up to deal with it, are they? They're set up to deal with, just let everything happen. It'll be okay. Because you don't have to do anything for that. But then when you've got that situation that's actually happened, the city of Bellevue, where I live here, has been very active on cleaning up the homelessness, the unhoused issue that's been, the pressure has been coming from Seattle to Bellevue. Bellevue is just a little bit east of Seattle. Fortunately, we've got an enormous body of water in between us, so the homeless can't walk from Seattle to here. They could walk across I-90, but that would be or 520, a really long walk with, you know, a big shopping cart filled with stuff. And I don't mean that in jest. That is literally how they end up here. You know, they've got just 25 bags. They've got all their stuff on them, and then they figure out a tent and they go live wherever. But so often we see these homeless encampments in Seattle and in Portland, you know, cleared out, and nobody wants to take the shelter for the night. Nobody wants to do that. Why is that? That's something that people don't focus on enough. We offered shelter. All right. How many took it? Well, that's another story. We probably shouldn't get into that. And that's because the numbers are so low. That's because these folks don't really want to. It's as simple as that. They don't want to stay in the city or county funded shelters because they can't do their thing there and they got to follow a set of rules. And that's not really what they're up to. Plus, they're not mentally in a position. If you're bashing out windows based on seeing your own shadow, you know, there's a lot of things cognitively that just aren't, they're not firing on all cylinders. They're firing on like 3 out of 8. 1 out of 4. Maybe. You know what I mean? They're nuts. They're nuts. Or they just love being, you know, they just love doing their thing on their own. I think that is a huge component of it also. A lot of people are choosing this lifestyle. They're choosing it because they are young and they are capable of working, and yet they choose not to. So why wouldn't they just choose this as the way that they're going to live? And they'll do that as long as we let them. So these businesses that are threatening to withhold, sounds great. You want to cheer for them, but in reality, their business will just get shut down. Their business will just suffer. Yeah, and maybe then, you know, do a podcast on that. And we'll cover that. But the reality is you need a solution for the homeless people, not creating another one by not paying your taxes and not paying your licensing fees. I get where civil disobedience comes in. And I think a lot of businesses are at about that point, but so many more have just given up and said, nope, I'm out. I'm done. Got to move on. This is a no-go for me. So that's it for me on this one. Thank you so much. We'll catch up in the next one. Bye for now.